This is Sari, and you guys should check out All Things Transformers with Steve, Megatron, and TFG1 Mike. It's a cool show.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0. Transformers!
Welcome to All Things Transformers. I am your host, TFG and Mike. We buried Steve in the backyard. He's gone.
Shut up, you babbling buffoon.
Yes.
Yes. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing quite well.
That's good. That's good. Also joining us is Optimus Solo, and we've placed the other co-host... Optimus Soul and I waited about, 45 minutes before we said, the hell with him, he's going into Transformers jail. Peconicorp Michael is not with us this time, and he's going to regret it.
I buried him in his basement.
Most likely, yes.
I toppled his Transformers shelf over top of him and left him to die.
And all you can see is a big shelf over him with tentacles coming out of it.
That's bad sodomy.
For him, that would make a lot of sense because he loves the tentacle porn.
A bookcase with tentacles, and he's somewhere underneath it all.
Yeah. Huh.
If those aren't Rampage's like legs we're talking about.
Oh!
Only he was here to defend himself.
Those aren't Rampage's toes curling up like the Wicked Witch of the East.
Nope, those weren't Tarantulas's either.
Oh, no. Now I'm thinking of the Beast Unleashed episode 2 or 3 spider cat rape.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we're back to bringing this show down. All right, so Steve is back. What we are going to do here is we are going to talk about our 5 overall favorite toy lines. We didn't really number them. I'm sure Kevin and I did, but they're not really just our favorite toy lines in general from the 30th anniversary of Transformers. And we are also going to talk about the good, the mediocre, and the absolute worst.
Just a general conversation of them.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, hopefully people saw your Facebook post a couple days ago, or last week, or whenever it would be. Speaking of the anniversary of Transformers and the anniversary of the first episode airing and the loss we had along with it.
Yeah, we have lost a wonderful voice actor. He has done many other things, but mainly where we know him from, Mr. Buster Jones has passed away. He was the voice, the personality that was G1 Blaster.
It was weird timing and kind of too bad.
Yeah, I was trying to kind of get a confirmation on the actual date of his death, because some places were saying it was September 15th, 2014. Some places were saying it's September 16th. I believe it was September 16th. So one day before the 30th anniversary of More Than Meets the Eye, the first G1 cartoon aired 30 years ago. So yeah.
And unfortunately, I think we're going to see that trend continue to grow as the years go on.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all can't live forever.
speak for yourself.
Right, like you've perfected. Like
I have, my vocals will go on forever.
Like you've found the Golden Lagoon, sure, okay.
I'm going to be Bicentennial Man.
Our podcast will live on forever.
Well, yeah.
They'll put us on the golden disc and aliens will turn and run the other way.
Wonder what the heck we're talking about.
Now all as I can think of is Swindle from Animated. Nice people, the Vok. You should see them next time you're at, you know, you're around Nexus Zero. But yeah, no, it's a toy line discussion without the guy who has
all the toys.
All the toys, yeah. I mean, I know, Kevin, you have a fairly generous collection yourself, but
not as big as the Star Wars collection, but I would say that maybe my Transformers are close to numbering in the 300s.
I think his are like the thousands.
Yeah, that's my Star Wars are, the thousands.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, Peacock Court Michael has like 7 to 10 like high-end built bookshelves that are locked where all of his, you know, all of his Transformers toys are in his basement. So
right.
Yeah, out of the four of us three here and Michael, he has the most.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad that he missed this episode. I'm sure he had better things to do. So I think we are going to take a quick break, come back with our favorite toy lines after this. Alright, we are back, and it is time for our five favorite toy lines. Steve, what is your... one of your five favorite toy lines?
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to put them in any particular order, and granted, I haven't owned a lot from any of these toy lines. Mm-hmm. I would say predominantly I've had Beast Wars figures. So, I mean, I guess I'll go with that, because it's no particular order for me. I just... Beast Wars has been one of those ones I've owned quite a bit since before the Transmetal era. I used to own the Optus and Megatron before they reissued them with the redecos and the before the Transmetal. I've owned every Beast Wars Optimus and Megatron at one point. I only have the Optimal Optimus and Transmetal 2 Megatron at this point, as far as those are concerned. I do still have a few other Beast Wars figures, but my list has grown and or has shrunk over the years. I just don't have the space to display them, and most of them are broken. But I definitely say Beast Wars deserves a place on there because you had the animals and some of them were articulated better than others. For instance, the Transmetal 2 Megatron Dragon.
Yeah.
I love that figure. Even though it's not show accurate, I love that figure.
Yeah, I wish they would do that show accurate now.
I still want the Beast Machines Megatron show accurate with the cloak.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's still the dragon.
I want the Beast Machines Megatron head.
They did have that. Accurate. But it's not accurate.
Yeah, see, it's not accurate, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, I agree, though. The Beast Wars had some cool and unique figures. A lot of different... I think one of the things unique about that is they had way more figures than most lines of characters that you didn't necessarily see in the show. For some of the later on lines, like there was a lot of... it seemed like there was a lot of room for them to kind of be creative and expand on different types of insects or animals, etc., that like you could get the ones that remind, you know, that were from the actual show, but you could also kind of expand and kind of create your own little world with these new characters that weren't necessarily on it.
The only thing I wish that they came out with was the actual play sets of the ships and the stasis pods, because I think that was kind of a missed opportunity. Being at that time, they had, you know, like you would have like the Ninja Turtle base or the Batman base or the party vans or the, you know, the vehicles. I think that was kind of a missed opportunity to have that.
Yeah, that would have been some cool little extras for the line, that's for sure. What about you, Clicky McClickerson?
Shut up. I'm going to kind of cheat and go with a year that was it's one line, but it's a specific year's line. I'm going to go with the BotCon 2008 Shattered Glass set and toys, because those were all based off of the classics molds, but they were repainted to into Shattered Glass, and I love those toys.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like that line. It's a cool one of my friends has most of the Shattered Glass, if not all of it, and it's a cool-looking line.
I think the 2010 reboot was stupid. Classics versus Shattered Glass, that was just dumb.
I think the interesting part about the Shattered Glass line that people like is because it did a complete role reversal of the characters, faction-wise. I mean, they were the same factions, but they were, you know, the Autobots were evil and Decepticons were good. And I think it was kind of neat to see that take on them, being that we've pretty much almost always gotten the same iteration of everything. Mm. And to see Megatron as the hero this time was definitely a difference. Plus the colors on them. I mean, you had the Autobots all dark and with goatees, and then the Decepticons were all bright colors.
Yeah.
That was so awesome.
I guess the first one I had on my list, a little bit more unique, maybe not quite like the other ones in that you can't really transform them. But I think a lot of people love this line more than probably they expected, and that's the Robot Hero line. They're small, they're easy to manage, they're easy to display on a small area. But I don't know, they did well with the detail, with the coloring, with the movement that you can get out of, like, the waist, the arms, the legs, for as small as they are. I really enjoyed it. They look really accurate as to what they should look based on, like, the G1 characters and figures and stuff like that. Yep. All the way down to the faces, and there's a good variety. I mean, the inclusion of like RC, you know, you got Optimus Prime holding the Matrix, you have a Unicron, you know, they have a cool collection of characters that kind of hit on, you know, everybody's favorite characters probably somewhere in that line. So I really like the Robot Hero line more than I thought I would. Much better. Absolutely. Much better than most of the other smaller that size scale toy lines that have been out throughout the 30 years.
Yeah, I first thought that those were knockoffs because I first found a lot, like, I used to buy all of those. I think there was a whole episode of ToyCast where we talked about the Robot Heroes. But I used to buy a lot of them, and where I'd find them is at Big Lots. And that's why I thought they were knockoffs, because that's usually what Big Lots has, is knockoffs.
Right. But, yeah, so I really enjoyed that toy line for a non-conventional choice, I guess.
Absolutely. I want to go back just a little bit, because you were talking about you still have your Optimal Optimus and Transmetal 2 Megatron, Steve.
Yes.
Had you guys seen the prototype Beast Wars Optimal Optimus electronic? It's a black prototype that was on eBay for a while. This was back, actually, this was about 19 days ago. The auction ended. It sold for $1,025.
No, I actually didn't know that actually existed.
Yes. There was a, I'm trying to see. Okay. I think the YouTube video has been taken down, but yeah, they took the video down. Jerk. But there was an auction on eBay for a prototype. Some guy somewhere went through some big giant toy collection. He got it at an estate sale or something or other. And, you know, this is what he found at the bottom of a box. And it's all black, unpainted, you know, prototype of Optimal Optimus. It was really cool. All right, Steve, your next line.
I would say Transformers Prime. Even though I've never owned any of the figures for the line, I've always wanted to own the figures for the line, at least some of them. And I find it how interesting that they can keep these figures so damn close to the show in accuracy.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of the lines get lost in translation.
Yeah, that's definitely a cool line, especially compared to some of the other stuff we were getting around the same time. I don't own any of them either, but I had to resist because I definitely wanted to start. But my problem is if I buy one thing from that line, I have to buy almost everything from that line. So I have to pick and choose where I begin, and I kind of fought the urge to start that line. So save myself some money, but I don't have any of those toys.
I think that's one of the nice things that I have with my collections is I want specifics, and then I don't care about the rest of the line.
That helps. The pocketbook, it helps the pocketbook.
Yes.
I remember when, because there's several versions of the Prime line. There's the first editions, which got canceled, and then there's the, what's it called? Robots in Disguise versions. There's so many different types of versions of toys in the Transformers Prime line. I remember when the first editions first came out at New York Comic Con that year, they took the RC, which was, you know, the blue RC from Transformers Prime. They took her, and for a New York Comic Con exclusive, they painted her pink to reference the G1 RC. So you have the Prime mold as a pink RC, which is kind of cool for a convention exclusive. The one toy out of that entire line that I absolutely wanted was the repainted dark red and not necessarily bright purple, but kind of like a glow purple. The Energon Bleeding Cliff Jumper, and they also repainted him to be a blue or a purple overall. Instead of red car, it'd be a purple car. I love those. Those were awesome. The Transformers Prime line really did put out a really cool number of toys.
Yeah, it was definitely a very good accompaniment to the series for people that like the kids that were into that series would have enjoyed those toys.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. For me, for the next one, Beast Wars. There are so many cool things about the Beast Wars toy line. First of all, it's the one toy line that kind of started us in the right direction of fully articulated toys. Because let's face it, the G1 line, as much as we love it, as much as we have the nostalgia for it, they are mostly bricks. For the most part.
Kind of like the Energon universe.
Yeah, well, the G1 universe is, for bricks is a lot better, so.
They're not as much of bricks as I've seen some from some other toys. Yes, certain figures are, but I understand what you're saying as far as the technology to have the fuller articulated figurines that we got with a lot of the Beast Wars.
Yeah. My one complaint about the Beast Wars line is, and I know they weren't always going for show accuracy, but I was really expecting the Transmetal 2 Cheetor to be super show accurate, and he wasn't. I was so disappointed in that paint scheme.
It is a hit or miss toy line in some ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does have its kind of duds out there, but overall, I still think, like you guys have mentioned, it's worthy of talking in the conversation of the best toy lines. My next one, probably one of the most complex lines that we ever got, as far as just transformability. You definitely needed to go carefully and at times heavily rely on the instructions, and that would be the alternators. I very much enjoyed the alternator line. Like the Beast Wars line that I was just mentioning, it does have its duds, and it does have its figures that are much better, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But overall, just the, like, that is an adult Transformer. Like,
yeah,
that is not something you want a 5-year-old attempting to do anything with. Like I said, I had certain figures that I liked way more than other figures. I didn't necessarily care for, like, the Optimus Prime figure. just because of the awkwardness of the truck becoming that robot with the, I don't know, I thought the hood was maybe a little bit misdone. But a lot of the figures were just very cool to mess with. And I don't know, I think from an appreciation of not being, I'm not saying they're not easy, but they're not as easy as a lot of the other lines. Yeah. And they look cool.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, I definitely enjoyed the alternators. I wasn't able to get them all. I was kind of out of a Transformers collecting, toy collecting. You know, I had G1, I had quite a few Beast Wars, a couple Beast Machines or whatever, and then I kind of like dropped out of collecting and as far as Transformer toy goes, until about halfway through the alternator lines. Now, obviously, I worked for 9 years at a Target that has, you know, and I was directly working next to or in the toy department, so I got to see a lot. I don't know if I was off to school or what when that alternator line started or what happened, but I remember coming back and seeing those and being like, wow, this is what I've been waiting for, something that to me, you know, reeks of some G1 aesthetic, even if it's not like a G1 toy. So I started up and kind of bought the ones I liked for the rest of that toy line. And then it kind of got me back into it, because then from there I went on to buy some from some various other toy lines and series throughout the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. But alternators, I guess, was what got me back into collecting Transformers there for a while.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
What about you, Steve?
As far as...
Next line?
The next line, I would say... I'd say probably be Classics.
I can piggyback on that, because that's going to be my next one too.
Okay.
I say that because, I mean, I know that the line was kind of huge by the time they got done with the multi-year release, because it's one of those lines that keeps dying and coming back. But I kind of thought it was interesting that they had so many re-envisionings of the characters themselves with new body styles, that I think that it kind of helps drive people, not necessarily to try and get the original figure, but you could get something that was similar to the original figure with better articulation and better detail.
And certain updates, yeah, and differences that made them unique enough, but still completely able to tell who it was and what it was supposed to be type thing. And the only thing that bugged me about that line was the coming and going and the changing of the names. We had Universe, we had Classics, we had Generations. It's all basically the same toy line.
it basically is, but I still kind of pit them a little bit separately, only because Universe tended to cover more of their comic and aligned continuity of the random universes colliding and repaints.
Right.
So I don't really count Universe and Generations. I kind of see it is very parallel to Classic.
It was like the Universe and the Generations line were bigger and different, but it was like there was Classics sprinkled in them.
it's almost like that they'd run Classics for 2 years, and then they'd dub it as Generations for a year or two, and then they'd dub it Classics 2.0 and do that for a year or two, and then do Generations 2.0, and then kind of jump back and forth so that it was kind of a new name, but it was the same stuff coming out.
But the difference for me is, like, in Classics, all of those were considered Classics to me, and I wanted all of them, whereas in those other lines I could pick and choose, because I was like, that's not really a Classic, or that's something else, like that's a Classic of a different thing or something, but it still
has a Classic of a different color.
Yeah, but those lines, like the Universe and Generations line, still had somewhere I'm like, that belongs in the Classics line, I'll buy that. Like, that can sit next to those toys and looks like it goes together. But yeah, I'm with you, that's one of my favorite lines. That really it was one of the first lines I was super excited to see every figure that was coming out. To like, what that was one of the first times I got back interested to see, like, what's the news, what's the rumors, what's the next character they're going to bring into this line, because I liked most of them. I will say that my biggest issue with the Classics line is, and I've said this before on, I think, ToyCast, is the scale of certain figures. I feel like...
That some aren't taller than others that should be?
Yep, I feel like some figures... one that's sticking out in my mind, and I could be remembering this wrong, but I remember Rodimus Prime being much smaller than I felt like he should have when he's standing next to the rest of the Classic figures. But there's a few like that. There's just a few, I think maybe even Galvatron, maybe it was the ones that they did that were like more of the movie characters, but I feel like they didn't keep the scale as consistent as they could have, but that's just a minor gripe.
Mm. Yeah. All right. What's your next one, Kev?
Well, I mean, I would go with that one.
Classics.
Yeah, I had like the Universe Classics generations kind of all together as like I said, if I could pick and choose which ones to include from the Universe line and which ones to include from the Generations line, and then all the Classics.
Yeah, I think for me, the most, as I was getting back into Transformers and Transformers toy collecting 2008-2009, I saw the Alternity line, where they're like Starscream, Skywarp, and Thundercracker are all sports cars. I thought that was really cool. You know, doing something a little bit different. But I didn't really have any of those. I just seen pictures of them online and videos and stuff. But I still thought that they were really cool. And that's, again, another way that Hasbro has kind of reinvented the Transformers for a, you know, a line or two.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love those. Next up, Steve.
I would say. I would probably say Generations only because of, and this is why, because not only does some of it still cross over with Classics, but I would also kind of argue the Thrilling 30.
Yeah.
For Generations, because we got some show-accurate characters from Beast Wars and Beast Machines.
Yeah.
That took them forever to get.
Yeah.
Point being, in Beast Machines, we got a show-accurate Tankor, finally, that looked like the actual Tankor.
It did, but that toy has so many problems.
No, I understand. I'm not saying that the toys aren't flawed. Yeah. But I'm saying them bastards are show-accurate.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that for me was one of them, although I wouldn't pick it up because it's not Megatron and I don't care.
Yes.
The Beast Wars ones, on the other hand, I'm very interested with because I know that one of them is top heavy, meaning Rhinox. I am interested in getting him only so that I have a show accurate version. I missed out on Waspinator, so now anytime I go to look for him, he's $45. which I think he was like $15 to $20 in the store, yeah. Kind of like Rhinox. I did con my wife into letting me pick up Rat Trap.
Nice.
She was not pleased. she's like, "Yeah, we're going to the store. We're looking in the toy aisle for the kid, and you're picking up a Transformer for yourself." Yeah, nice going, Steve. And I'm like, okay, I says I'm still getting it. I told her, says if it wasn't Beast Wars, I wouldn't even try. But this Rat Trap, I love the fact that they come with a comic.
Yeah.
I've not opened it. I don't know if I ever will. So I'll probably try and obtain a copy of the comic again so that I can actually read it. I don't know if it's actually pertaining to that character or not, or if it's just a cover.
I have them. I haven't read the ones that came with mine.
It says something about that it's a Hasbro exclusive cover, but I think I don't know what the comic actually is.
Right. I haven't talked to anyone that has. I actually wish my buddy Optibotomus would, because he's done video reviews on all the toys for these, and
I have one sitting in front of me. Actually. And
which one?
It looks like it is specific to that character somewhat. I have one that was, yep, because I have one that's Hoist, one that's Orion Pax, and one that's Thundercracker, and one that's Megatron. So they all went with the figures that came with them.
Okay, because I was kind of curious about it, and it's kind of nice to see that Maximal symbol again.
Yeah.
All chromed out. But what I love about this Rat Trap, even though I haven't opened it and it's in robot mode, you have the animal kibble on it, but you also have he comes with an actual blaster. Like the shoulder details there, the arm details, like where he would pull his bombs out of his arms. And mm-hmm. I was watching a review of somebody that actually opened it, and the bombs are actually in the arm.
Yeah.
Which I thought was awesome. And the detail on the head and everything else, it's just, it's so show accurate, like, I hate to open it. It's, I have this urge, because I have the War for Cybertron Megatron open on my desk. I have the Titanium Scourge. I have the Transmetal 2 Megatron and Masterpiece Prime sitting out, and I'm like, it's so lonely being in the package, but I don't want to open it because I have several other new figures that I've gotten recent that aren't out of the package. So, but I would say that line only because of the fact that the Beast Wars is there.
Absolutely. For me, the next one would have to be, and I don't want to hear any complaints from the Peanut Gallery over there in Illinois, Transformers Animated. You gotta admit, as much as some people hate the cartoon, the toys were actually super cool, with the exception of Soundwave. Soundwave was just too friggin' small. I loved what they did with Hot Rod Rodimus. I absolutely love that. I love the Earth Mode Voyager Optimus Prime. I love the Earth Mode Leader Megatron. I mean, the toy line, I love Blur. Even though I broke Blur's leg, I still love Blur. It was just a snap of the ball joint. I just had to snap it back on. But yeah, I mean, Animated had some really, really cool toys. And if that line had got to succeed a little bit more, we would have gotten some really cool repaints from that line.
Keeping my comments to myself.
Good.
No, I don't have anything bad to say against the toy line.
good.
Just nothing. I don't want something that looks like that on my shelf, I guess.
Oh, come on. You
They probably transform real good, and they probably are fun to play with. It's the same thing that obviously initially turned me off of the series would be the look of it. And if I don't like how something looks, I'm not going to buy the toy of it. Right, but I mean, I can understand other people enjoying them and getting into them and thinking they're fun, especially if they like the cartoon.
Yep, absolutely. What about you, Kev?
My second one, although somewhat cheating, I guess, because I wasn't going to include anything that I don't own any of, or that's not like a main line that's released like to stores and stuff like that on like a wide scale basis. But I don't think we can have this discussion without at least mentioning the quality and the standards that go with making a masterpiece figure.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if I had endless amounts of money, I would own all the masterpiece figures that have been made, because they are the detail, the accuracy, the additional add-ons and things that come with it, as far as like artifacts that go with that character or with the show or with the movie or whatever. I mean, the masterpiece, that's a perfect name for them, because they are masterpieces.
It took them I'm glad they got to this character, but it took them too damn long to get the Soundwave.
I don't even know all the characters they've done or how many they've done, but everyone I've seen has been amazing.
They have done Optimus multiple times, Megatron multiple times. They've done so many different ones multiple times, but they've also done like stuff like Soundwave, and I think Bumblebee is coming up. I think that's going to be released. Prowl is coming up. Might already be released. I'll be honest. I haven't been in the know on the Transformers toys in a long time. I mean, I kind of keep up with it, but I don't keep up with it as much as I did like 3 years ago.
Before the people at TFW drove me away, I used to keep up with it a lot. There was too many idiots on that damn board.
Well, I used to keep up with all the Masterpiece, and funny enough, that's my next choice. I've only collected one. I've wanted to collect a lot of the other ones. I just can't afford it because of how much they are. But I got the original MP01 Optimus Prime at Target, which they had like an entire like aisle dedicated to that. And I know there's a couple different versions. Like the Takara one had the actual smokestacks and none of the burn damage on it. And there were two different versions of the MP01 that ended up in U.S. stores where the gun was a different color. One was gray with the blue, and the other one's black with the blue, and I have the black. I can definitely see where that deserves a spot on the list because they've gotten to cover so many different sagas with it of the G1 absolutely. Figures and make them actually accurate. I think the last one I tried getting was Megatron, and then when I discovered it was over $100, I was like, no. And then I was hearing facts that it was corroding on its own. I was like, yeah, I'm really not getting this. The Seekers looked enticing. They had Ultra Magnus, which was just white Prime. They've come out with MP. They've come out with Optimus Prime numerous times. The Soundwave looks super enticing. The Starscream does too, even though there's a repaint of all the jets. Currently, I mean, I've seen the Hot Rod one. That one looks cool too.
There's a lot of issues with him, though. I mean,
there's issues with all of them.
I know, but that was like the biggest thing about. Like, oh my god, we're finally getting a Masterpiece Hot Rod, because the Japanese people never do cars. They'd rather do tape decks, which, don't get me wrong, I love Soundwave. But, I mean, I remember when Masterpiece Rodimus first came out, and the whole thing of, it's four toys in one, because you have his Rodimus modes and his Hot Rod modes, both robot and alternate. And I noticed a lot of people like Bolt Matrix, Optibotomus, PO, a lot of people were reporting problems about their figures. It is super cool. To this point, coming up, they're about to release, this year they might have already released Wheeljack Bumblebee, which is actually just called Bumble, apparently. It's probably the first time that Hasbro has done a Transformers Volkswagen toy in a long time.
I don't think they've been able to because of rights.
Yeah.
And because Volkswagen's so tight on, you can't have a war vehicle with our emblem on it.
MP24 is going to be Star Saber in March of next year. You know, you mentioned the white Prime, Steve.
Actually going to make Ultra Magnus.
Finally.
And they show four other masterpieces sitting on his trailer.
Yep.
Which I think is kind of interesting. The other thing that's kind of interesting is they actually have a few years back, they actually made a trailer that goes with the Masterpiece Prime.
Yep, MP04.
Yep. Well, it even goes to MP10 Optimus Prime.
Oh, yeah.
This one is completely cartoon accurate.
Yep.
With the regular smokestacks, the detail to it, the colors, the head sculpt, definitely interesting take on it. I love any time they do Prime, but they've done him to death. I'm hoping that Galvatron is in the pipe.
You know, I hope Galvatron's in the pipe for Masterpiece, but I hope they do him right and not...
Well, if they're going to do it, they'll do it right.
I don't know. I don't think...
They've done all these other ones correct.
I know, I understand that, but all these other ones are trucks, cars, cassette decks, jets. They're not giant friggin' guns. So, I mean, I'm not sure. I know he's a cannon, but, you know. I will say what is super cool about the Masterpiece Soundwave is they have two versions of him. One is the Takara version. One is the Hasbro version. Each version has different color eyes. One of them has a yellow eye color, which homages the original toy, and the other one has a red color, which is the cartoon accurate color. And they include the four cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely awesome. There was a time, I think, on Toys R Us or something, you could buy... it was some leftover convention exclusive where you could buy Soundwave and all four cassettes all in one jump. And that would have been amazing to have. What about you, Kev? Next line?
I guess that would be my number one then.
Masterpiece?
No, my number one, the only one left here for me would be Generation 1 toys. As much as everybody's going to probably rip on me for listing that as a number one with blah, 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 there's no articulation, etc. there's a couple things that do it for me, regardless of if you want to call it a brick or not. First of all, the toy line basically went 7 years. 1984 basically to 1991. Now I'm going to kind of put a caveat in there that I really only enjoy the line from 1984 to 1987. And then from 87 to 91, it kind of started losing its luster a little bit, but it goes more than just the toys on these. The package art was phenomenal. You had tech specs, which I loved as a kid. The bios, as far as their personality goes, I remember, you know, being able to collect the robot points. The tech spec decoder that came with it, so you could see the lines and how each person ranked in the various categories, which I always thought was fascinating as a kid, seeing who had the best, you know, speed, who had the best power, etc. And the toy catalog flyer thing, that was just cool to look at. It usually had an awesome art on the one side, and then it had like your little visual checklist on the other side, where you Absolutely. Could kind of check off, well, you know, which ones you had. And those were just, they made it that much more fun because you could see the entire collection. Again, this is before the internet, before anything like that. So, you know, with that toy catalog flyer, you got to see the whole line for that year, which ones you had, which ones were still out there, which ones you could be trying to find in stores. It really started the whole collecting idea as far as like the, you know, kind of the treasure hunt of going out and seeing what you could find type of thing. So I just really enjoyed G1. Obviously, it's what made me a toy collector from the beginning. And also, along with not just the 7 years, but even if you just take from 84 to 87, the amount of figures that are out there.
Oh, God, yeah. 86 and 87 alone. I remember Michael and I did an episode about the 86, 87, the movie toy line, you know, toys after came out of the movie, and it's like... Oh my God. And especially once Rebirth hit, because in the show, they're like, you have to fit 120 new characters into this 3-part episode.
Right.
You know,
well, another thing is they basically have a toy for every single character that ever appeared. Mm-hmm. Just about, I think. And think about all the different things that they did in that toy line, that no other toy line has been able to seemingly duplicate. I mean, you have your basic figures. You have obviously different sizes, different scales. You had your, you know, smaller, your mediums, your larger ones, as far as what we would later term as like Voyager class or, you know, leader class type stuff. But it was more than that. You had your combiners. You had your pretenders. You had I'm going to start missing all of them, but Power Masters, Action Masters,
Ronalbots.
Yeah, you had the ones that sparked. You had the ones that would roll. You know, you wind them up and let them go.
Jump starters.
You had your triple changers. You had your big, you know, your like your Metroplexes, and I mean, you had your sound things like Shockwaves, original G1 toy. So I mean, there was so many different gimmicks and little things that you could latch onto, or you could like or dislike. But just the depth of this toy line and everything that it offered is hard to match with any other toy line of any series, of any cartoon, of any, you know, franchise. So that's my top one.
For me, I'm going to kind of piggyback off of that, but I'm going to say when they started doing the commemorative series for G1, which is much later. It was years and years later. And when they started doing that, it was like, hey, you know, you go on to eBay, you look for a G1 toy, like G1 Blaster or Soundwave. You know, I know for a fact, and I at the time, and I do to this day, still have no shame in admitting this, between Soundwave, the original G1 Soundwave and Blaster and all the cassettes, I paid over $800 for both of them on eBay. Whereas you could look at the commemorative series and, hey, look, you know, go see this stuff. And it was really cool because, by the time that came out, it was like all new era, all new age, but you could still put in all the articulation and you could still have what the toy looked like from the old line.
Right. I will say that out of the later ones, I did, even though I kind of got away from it with some of the Pretenders and some of those other things, I just want to get in there. I did like the MicroMasters. They were kind of cool.
Yeah.
But continue.
The MicroMasters are awesome. the commemorative series, I remember that's how I got one of my Astrotrains that I had. And I thought it was really, really cool that they did that for Astrotrain and they did that for other characters. Again, just another interesting way that Hasbro was able to work up, you know, and reintroduce everyone to G1. What about you, Megatron? What's your number one toy line, as if we didn't already know?
I already talked about Beast Wars. I mentioned that one first. No, I pretty much piggybacked off of the Masterpiece line.
Yeah.
While we were talking about it.
I think all of the characters, whether you're, you know, Generation 1 or not, that's the goal. Like, that's the level you need to reach to have your Transformers toy be completed, is the Masterpiece line.
Well, and there's a reason they're all Generation 1.
Uh-huh.
Which goes to show that's the number one toy line.
Yep.
I agree.
All right. I think we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back with
the best of the rest.
Or the worst of the rest. Yeah. We'll be back after this.
Welcome to my throne room, fugitives. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFG1 Mike, Pecan Court Michael, and the Cybertronian correspondent Optimus Solo move on to Transformers Animated with Transformation Animation Podcast. 20 episodes covering all 3 seasons of the cartoon, the books, and the awesome toy line. We'll also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped with GCRN's next Transformers franchise podcast. Transformation Animation Podcast, available on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Get your tap on.
Decepticons, transform and rise up.
I, Starscream, have taken over Transformers prime time. Call me Lord.
No, Starscream, we will not call you Lord, but we will announce that the GCRN is bringing everyone Transformers prime time. That's right, before we get into the TFG1 redone, we enter the Prime Universe. Join your hosts, TFG and Mike, Steve Megatron, Optimus Solo, and Pecan Court Michael as they cover all 65 episodes of Transformers Prime, the comics, the toys, and more. We will also have a commentary on Predacons Rising, interviews with writers, voice actors, and more. All in the latest Transformers review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. You can find TF Primetime on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. And remember,
one shall stand and one shall fall.
All right, it's time for the mediocre, the worst, the rest of the 30 years of Transformers. One thing I'll say really quick off the top is, a number of years ago, I had seen a video by one of the YouTube people, TJ Omega. I haven't watched a lot of his stuff in the last 3 or 4 years, but a number of years back, he did a top 10 worst Transformers action figures video. And the number one worst that he picked, I believe, was Cheetor from Beast Machines. It was one of the Cheetors, because he actually had an arm that could go in certain places and in certain motions that a toy should not do. Basically, Cheetor, in the video, I believe TJ Omega has Cheetor jerking off to Black Arachnia, basically, is what he did. I'll have to see if I can dig that video up to put it in the post.
So you could technically say that he was having some good times with...
So Kev, where are we going with this?
I'm just gonna quick go over some of the ones that didn't quite make my top list, that I still have some level of joy and respect for, or love for. A bunch of them you guys mentioned, so it's no surprise that they're on your list. I too enjoyed the Beast Wars figures, even though, like I said, there were some hits and misses in that series. I liked the Transformers Prime series, even though they weren't enticing enough for me to pull the trigger on them. And we mentioned the Beast Machines. They, too, had some very cool figures and some bad ones. But I definitely liked the few figures that I had. I thought they transformed very well, and they were pretty sturdy. We didn't talk about the whole die-cast and different thing like that, I guess. But Beast Machines were a sturdy figure. You mentioned the Shattered Glass series. I like that. The only other ones I kind of mentioned that I did enjoy, even though I didn't put them in my top five, the War for Cybertron figures. I enjoyed those. I didn't necessarily buy them all or anything like that, but I thought they were cool looking and went well with the game. I will say, I'm going to lump this all together, but with the Unicron Trilogy toy lines, whether it be Armada, Universe, Energon, etc. I only list it now because even though I think the toy lines overall were crap, there were some in there that were intriguing enough for me to pick up. Mm-hmm. And there were some that looked cool enough that you're like, I can't pass on that. And then the only other one, which I have a real love-hate relationship for, is the Titanium series. They look cool. They are very not practical. Those things are, some of those are so top heavy or whatever that it's literally impossible to pose them.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I only have one masterpiece, or not one masterpiece, one Titanium. And that's only because it was the only character I ever voiced in a fan dub of a G1 series. And that was Scourge.
And I bought one because I thought they looked so cool. And I actually opened it and went to like transform it and play with it and do whatever. And I decided at that point I would not buy any more. Just because they were so unworkable. At least the ones I had. I think I bought two at the same time. And the two that I had, one could somewhat stand up and the other one could not. They were so heavy and the hinges were too loose that it just made it impossible. But they looked epic. So I guess love-hate for me for that one. But those are the ones that I kind of considered or thought about that I didn't necessarily just all-out hate. They're not the worst toy lines. I have some that are.
All right, so what are the worst ones?
For me, the movie toys, the Michael Bay movie toys.
Yeah.
Just because we're working with characters that are hard to distinguish anyways and that don't look cool, don't have cool faces, etc. And then it was just like, it just seemed like it was cheaply done, like just gimmicky and cash grab toys. It didn't seem to feel like there was much care put into them. Mm-hmm. I thought the Heroes of Cybertron or the Legends of Cybertron, the other small lines,
yeah, the heroes
are
yeah,
not the heroes. Very good.
See, I always thought they were very good because I thought they were like a miniature version of the G1 commemorative.
Yeah, but some of them had some sloppy paint jobs.
Oh, I'm sure.
I guess maybe because I just kind of got on the robot heroes that I thought were far superior. It's weird because I liked the small figures in the G1 original toy line. Like, I liked the Bumblebee Cliffjumper, wheelie-sized figures. But to me, these almost look too much like little keychains that you know what I mean? It was almost like that weird line that came out. I don't even think it was a Transformers line of the keychains. It reminded me too much of those. But they just seemed like they were cheap knockoffs. The RID line, I did not care for at all. The 2003 Universe line, not the one that kind of was similar to Classics, but the actual Universe line was pretty bad. Beast Wars 2 and Beast Wars Neo. I thought those were pretty bad, but probably the worst, I think, of all would be the G2. G1 repaint, knockoff, weird, cheap-looking things.
Now, unless they were, partially combined with the Beast Wars 2 or Neo stuff, like you get the tank Megatron. Right.
Yeah, it was all those like secondary Optimus lines. The secondary lines are just like repainted stuff, weird neon colors and stuff like that. It's like, what's going on here? So those are the ones I kind of despise and do not own any of. I do own a couple movie toys, but I would be willing to give them away for free to somebody if they wanted them, probably.
I will say about the movie lines that the only one that I really ever cared for, because I thought it was absolutely amazing, was Revenge of the Fallen Ravage. I thought that was a perfect representation of what Ravage was in the movie. So I did like that one.
Anything that we didn't mention that you guys hate?
Steve?
Nobody mentioned really the... Nobody said the kiss.
Michael's not here.
No, we don't like the cock play ones.
Oh, wow. Okay, then.
Call it what it is. just saying. I'm going to catch shit for that one, I know.
Batman versus Superman. It's just a giant gangbang on Wonder Woman.
Touché. I don't really have any problems with any of them, really. You got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah. I don't care for. I guess I don't care for the Star Wars Transformers crossovers, even though those are my two favorite toy
lines. Yeah, I guess I kind of blanked that out in the Disney ones and all that.
And the Mighty Mugs, I stayed away from.
Now, I will say that that actually should have been my number one. But I will say, when I jumped on that bandwagon, it wasn't just... I started with the Transformers, and then I expanded to everything else. I will say, those are some pretty cool stationary toys. The thing about... where was I going with this?
Nobody knows.
Yeah, exactly. I know. The thing about, for me, it's not necessarily that I have anything that I dislike a toy line in general. I mean, outside of the Armada Energon Cybertron line, I know Cybertron was really good toys and they really did help evolve the articulation and, movement and everything else in the design of the toys, but anything associated with the Unicron trilogy, I just don't care for. But other than that, it's more so like specific toys that I think are bad or I hate, especially ones that try to basically take my finger off, like Animated Blitzwing. Tried to do that one time at Christmas. Jerk.
I remember it's like, that.
No gifts for you. I'm taking your finger instead. No coal either.
It's like Optimus. Jackass. Give me your finger.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it would probably be more like, as much as I praise the animated line, I still loathe the Soundwave toy out of that line because he is too squat, too small, and it just looks horrid. It just is hard in general. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I've got.
All right.
Anything else we're going to be bringing up?
I don't think so.
All right. I guess the person whose show this is can take it out.
No, you can take it out. You brought it in.
You brought it into this world. You take it out. Take it to Texas.
Ew. Okay, then. Next up on All Things Transformers, we are going to be doing a ATTF This Was Your Podcast. It's basically going to be a 1.5 to 2 hour clip show of a lot of the funny and some of the discussion-based clips we've had over the years. This is probably going to take me 2.5-3 weeks to do, so it might be a while before the next episode of ATTF.
Mike's got a lot of episodes to dive through.
Yeah.
And I guess there's some really bad episodes in there, too.
Well, like, the early ones, like right now, I'm up to ATTF version 1.0, episode 12. That is 43 minutes, and I'm betting that that's mostly you and I going through news items at the time, because this was, let me see if I get the properties here. This was back in 2009, so 5 years ago is when this episode was out.
Hey, guess what? That show started before the network.
I know, 2008. Yep. So yeah, that's what's kind of going on for ATTF episode 49. It's going to be a giant clip show. It's going to be kind of like a ATTF This Was Your Life. Basically, what's going to happen is I'm going to send Steve all the clips I grab so he can listen to them, and then I'm going to introduce them, and I'm actually going to have Steve edit this episode. If I have to go through God knows how many hours,
I think
of
I can suffer through editing.
Yeah, you can suffer Mike, through
just,
editing.
You can just go ahead and skip to episode 54, version 1.0, through 58, because that's me, you, and Steve on all four of those episodes. And then about the first 10 episodes of version 2, I think are three of us for most of them. So
okay.
So it's not god awful.
No, it's not god awful. So yeah, that's what's going on with that. And then I don't know what Steve has. I know ATTF 2.0 episode 50 is going to be the grand finale. I have no idea what Steve has planned for that. I don't know if we're doing call-ins or if we're doing voicemails. I did put a buffer on episode 47 saying, hey, you guys have got X number of days or weeks to get your feedback in. Send it to feedback@geekcastradio.com about the ending of All Things Transformers.
It's the first show, guys. It's the show that predated the network.
It's the show that predated the network. It is the longest running show on the network.
Well, chronologically.
Yes, chronologically it is.
Now, if it didn't reboot, it would actually be higher than a few other ones, but...
Right. In total, ATTF is 6.5-7 years old. So technically, even though it didn't actually join the network until ATTF episode 25, 2.0 episode 25.
25 of the first version was the first network.
So episode 50 is going to be a grand finale. It's going to be a grand send off. I will also say, Steve and I do have plans for us, whether it's me, Steve, and Kevin, or me, Steve, and Michael. We are still going to do the Transformers live-action commentaries. We don't know when we're going to do them, but it's going to be way... It might be 2 years from now. Who knows?
I will say hell may freeze over first. Just saying.
We'll get to it when
we get
to it.
At least one of us will be old and gray.
I'm already
Blanchard.
Getting there. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, you'll be old, I'll be gray. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be old, you'll be gray.
So, that's ATTF episode 48. That's our discussion on the toy lines and toys in general. 30th anniversary of Transformers. Happy birthday, anniversary, and all that good stuff.
You're so old.
Shut up.
No, I mean Transformers, you're so old.
Oh.
I thought he was going to say, I'm getting too old for this shit.
I'm older than the Transformers series, at least. Yay.
I'm not.
No, you're a youngin'. Kevin and I are at least four to 5 years older than... Yeah. God, I want to say make your greatest game into comics, but this is not the pullback, damn it.
Shut up and transform and roll out. Yes.
I was waiting for Megatron to say something, but no, he's not listening to shit.
Bitch.
This is why I hate machines.
My pants are full.
I come in peace.
You're about to leave in pieces.
No need for violence, Rhinox. I merely wish to talk.
Go ahead. It's a free planet. I'm busy.
Stubborn maximal fool! He'll soon regret this impertinence.